No, Psalm 1. Psalm 1. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Amen. Now, we have been looking at this psalm in previous evenings, and I do want to speak to you again upon the subject, the righteous and the wicked contrasted. The righteous and the wicked contrasted. And it's quite obvious to us that in the psalm there is this contrast made between the godly and the ungodly, the righteous and the wicked, their way of life and the outcome of that, their final end. There is a contrast made between the two. The godly believer, the one who knows the Lord, who has an active faith in Christ, who is seeking to live for the Lord according to the Lord's word, that's what is in view. We're not looking at a believer whose Christianity is mere profession and nothing much to that profession. We're looking at someone who's living for the Lord, who knows the Lord, and is going on with God. And the godly believer on the one hand, and the ungodly unbeliever on the other hand. Well, we did begin to look at the portrait of the godly man, the portrait of the godly man. And that portrait is found in verse 1 and verse 3. Blessed is the man. This man, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. A portrait is painted with words of the godly believer. And that portrait, as we pointed out, is very happy or cheerful or positive in its tone. There is a tone to the portrait, and the first word of the psalm really sets the tone. Blessed is the man. The happiness of this man. His abiding state through the various vicissitudes of life, the ups and downs of life, his abiding state is that of happiness, of joyfulness. He is in a blessed condition. And as we pointed out, it is the Lord who brings him into this position. It is the Lord who brings him to this place where we can speak of him as a blessed man, a happy man. Happy is that man. And he is so because the Lord has brought him into such a state. And we won't look at the verses again this evening, but they're worthy of thought and looking at them. Deuteronomy 33:29, Psalm 32:1-2, Psalm 41:1-3, and then 1 Kings 10:8, where it's Solomon, but it's the Lord in type. All of these verses point to this great truth of the Lord bringing his people into this blessed state, this abiding condition of happiness. So this portrait that is painted, it's not a sad portrait, it's not depressed in its tone, it is cheerful, it is uplifting, it is happy, it is joyful, and such is the lot of the godly man. Well, the portrait that is painted here, it is certainly vividly rendered. There is quite a picture that is painted. The godly man is likened to a fruitful tree. There is a vividness here in the depiction of the godly man. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Here is an extended metaphor of the fruitful tree, the godly man likened to the fruitful tree. And of course, in depicting him in this fashion, we see that the godly man is like the first tree that we come across in the scriptures, a fruitful tree, a tree that yields its fruit, a tree that is not merely existing, but a tree that is productive. He is like the good tree of Luke chapter 6 also. Luke chapter 6 and verse 43-45, the Lord Jesus Christ uses the metaphor of the tree again to separate out people. Luke chapter 6 and verse 43, for a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. Well, here you see the good tree, the good man, the good heart, moreover. Here you see the principle of grace that is there in the heart. The good man out of the good treasure of his heart, the principle of grace in the heart. And with that principle, inevitably, there are the fruits of grace in the life. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth, inevitably, must do so, bringeth forth that which is good. There is a productivity there. Well, that's the man of Psalm 1. There's the principle of grace there, bringing forth the fruits of grace in the life. Well, in our verse in Psalm 1, we are told that the godly believer is like a tree planted by the rivers of water. A tree planted by the rivers of water. Now, in the ordinary course of things, we would expect, when we read of a tree planted, we would expect someone who has planted the tree. The suggestion surely is of the one who planted the tree, of the tree having a beginning, of the tree not always as it appears in its fullness and in its maturity and in its great productivity. The tree had to be planted. The tree had to be cultivated. A location had to be chosen. The tree had to have access to water and so on. There has to be one who does all of that. And it's a wonderful likeness to the godly man. The godly man wasn't always godly. He wasn't always fruitful. He wasn't always bringing forth his fruit in his season. It wasn't always the case that everything he did prospered and so on. There was a time when he was far from godly. There was a time when, if you like, his godliness had a beginning. The Lord was the one who planted him out. It was the Lord who chose him to salvation. It was the Lord who saved him. It was the Lord who had the ambition of the husbandman that he should be fruitful in his life. And we shouldn't miss that. We shouldn't miss that. There are other factors that come into play here in terms of this man, and we'll get to them in future nights, God willing. We see them in verses 1 and 2, but we shouldn't miss the work of the Lord here in terms of the godly man. There was one who did the planting. There was one who started the whole business off, that is something that should not be missed. Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17. Chapter 17. Verses 5 through to 8. Two types of men contrasted. Division that there is in humanity. It's not just men as men, we're looking at humanity, men and women. Verse 5, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. Blessed is the man, however, by contrast, that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when he cometh, but her leaves shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Now there are many, many things, of course, in these verses. There's lessons here about faith, there's lessons here about the danger of making flesh the arm and all of that. But what I want you to see very, very simply here is this. The opening statement, thus saith the Lord. Here is a statement from God. Here is a revelation of God's will. God is saying, God is ordaining it so, that the man who does trust in him, the godly man, that man shall be as a tree planted by the waters. That man shall be blessed. And thus we are led to the conclusion. Not only is the Lord saying it, not only is the Lord promising it, but the Lord is doing it. The Lord is doing it. The Lord is, as it were, blessing this man. The Lord is over this whole business. He is the divine husbandman. When we see a godly man, yes, we are right to point out the prayer life. We are right to point out what the man does in terms of himself and following the means of grace. And all of that is good. But we mustn't miss the essential truth that when we see a human being who has been saved, who has gone on well with God, who is prospering spiritually, we mustn't miss the essential truth. This is the Lord's doing. This is the Lord's doing. And there's many examples of that in the Scriptures. And the Apostle Paul, one of the greatest examples, godly man, unquestionably, was always careful to indicate in terms of himself, he was what he was because of God. This is the Lord's doing. Now, a tree planted by the rivers of water, planted, of course, by the Lord himself, established, very firm, very solid, a tree planted by the rivers of water. By the rivers of water. By the rivers of water. Water is indispensable to life. Without it, decay and death must in the end follow. Without it, decay and death. There must be access to water. The question here is this, of course. What is the significance? This is a picture. This is a metaphor. What is the significance of this? This godly man who's like this tree, this planted tree, by the rivers of water. What is the significance of the water, the rivers of water, the supply here, as it were, to the tree? Well, Psalm 65 perhaps sheds some light in this. Psalm 65, and verses 9 and 10. Psalm 65, verses 9 and 10. Now here is the Lord. It said of the Lord, "Thou visitest the earth and waterest it. Thou greatly enrichest it with the river of God, which is full of water. Thou preparest them corn when thou hast so provided for it. Thou waterest the ridges thereof abundantly. Thou settlest the furrows thereof. Thou makest it soft with showers. Thou blessest the springing thereof." Now I think the heart of this here, in these verses, is simply this. What we have here is the rivers of God watering the land with God's blessing. God is visiting the earth in blessing. It is blessing that is in view here. What is going on is a blessing to the land. And I think that is the essential significance when we look at water here. When we think of what is indispensable, what can we not go without? What can the land not go without? What can we not go without? What can the godly believer not go without? And it seems to me that when we look at this, when we look at the tree planted by the rivers of water, it seems to me the blessing of God is indispensable in the Christian life. The blessing of God. And that covers, I agree, a wide area, but it is nonetheless indispensable in the Christian life. And I think, you know, along this line, it is striking what is there in Genesis 1:22. It is striking what is there in Genesis 1:22 in terms of the blessing of God. "And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth." There's a fundamental relationship laid out for us in that verse 22 of Genesis 1. Where there is the blessing of God, there is fruitfulness of one sort or another. And that seems to me what's going on in the godly believer's life. Where there is the blessing of God, where there is an abundant supply of the blessing of God, where, as it were, he is planted by the rivers of water, inevitably, fruitfulness follows. Inevitably, fruitfulness follows. The blessing of God is indispensable. And the godly man is abundantly blessed in his life. This is a man who has his Bible open, and therefore knows what it is to be blessed out of the Scriptures. This is a man whose prayer closet is visited. This is a man whose pew is filled. This is a man who knows what it is to commune with God, to serve God, to please God, and he enjoys God's blessings in all of these things. He enjoys God's blessings in all of these things. He's like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Now, we are told here that like the tree, the fruit is seasonable. He shall be like a tree, like the fruitful tree planted by the rivers of water. There is a certain seasonableness to the fruit bearing that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Now, it's perfectly true that fruitfulness, particularly when we think of it in terms of the development of the spiritual graces in our life, that's something that should be every day and so on. There's an everyday aspect to that. But it's also true to say that there is a seasonableness about some of the graces. There is a time when these graces come to the fore. And I think Charles Spurgeon, as he so often does, gets to the heart of this very, very simply. He speaks of those seasonable graces, of fruitfulness at a seasonable time. And he speaks, and I quote him, "Patience in the time of suffering, faith in the day of trial, holy joy in the hour of prosperity." What he's getting at, in particular seasons of life, particular graces should come to the fore. In other words, the godly man, in the time, in the season of suffering, he brings forth his fruit of patience. In the season of trial, he brings forth his fruit of faith. In the season of prosperity, he brings forth the fruit of holy joy. Or if you want to put it negatively, he's not proud in prosperity. He's not unbelieving in trial. He's not impatient in suffering. No, he bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Spiritual graces, particular graces, in particular seasons, come to the fore. They fruit, as it were. They blossom, if you like. Whatever way you want to put it, but there it is. It's a wonderful picture. It's a wonderful picture of the seasonableness of our own fruitfulness. Also, we are told, his leaf also shall not wither. There's no sign of decay. We see leaves withering on the tree. We see leaves not as green as they once were. We see leaves that are clearly something is wrong. Clearly, there is some element of decay. Years have passed, and the years have taken their toll. But the godly man, he is not like that. His leaves, as it were, as green as ever. His profession is as strong. His testimony is as strong as ever it was. The years have passed, but they have not taken their toll. He is not one who is in decay, spiritually speaking. It cannot be said of him, in terms of his own life, he is not what he once was. He is not what he once was. Now, of all too many, of course, it can be said. Of all too many, we can look with sadness and say, well, we know what that person is today, but that's not what they once were. We know the disdain which they have for the Scriptures, but that's not what it used to be. We know how absent they are from the house of God, but that's not what it used to be. But the godly man's not like that. He's going on with God. He's going on with God. His leaf is not withering. His leaves are as green as ever. His profession and his testimony, his Christian life, is as attractive as ever it was. It's quite a beautiful thing, in fact. There's nothing as miserable as a dying tree with the leaves withering. And the tree is just a figure of death. The tree is just a depressing sight. And that is true, I'm afraid, when it comes to some. Their leaves are definitely withering. And it's depressing to view them. But it's not so with the godly man. It's not so. Physically, he may be decaying. Even in his mind, it may not be what it once was. But he's going on with God. Grace in him is as attractive as ever it was. His leaf is not withering. And here we read, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And you know, when you look at the rest of the verse, of course, there's no reason why he wouldn't prosper. Like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bringing forth his fruit in his season, his leaf not withering, the Lord himself over the whole thing, there's no reason why he shouldn't prosper. There's no reason why it should not be an upward curve, finally, to glory. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Well, it's a vivid, a very vivid picture of a godly believer. And I think it's useful for us. I think it's useful for us for the purposes of self-examination. I think it's a good thing to take the measure of ourselves according to the teaching of God's word. And here we have a picture of a godly man. Here we have a likeness. And certainly in terms of our own selves, we can ask questions of ourselves. And I'm speaking of believers asking questions of themselves, not asking questions of others and measuring others up, as it were, to this picture. But I'm talking about self-examination. How am I doing in terms of this? What sort of likeness have I got to this? This is the sort of thing that this may be useful for us in terms of that. This is a wonderful portrait of the godly man. A very cheerful portrait. The tone is uplifting, and it's vividly rendered, and everything about it would serve to encourage us in the ways of the Lord. Who wouldn't want to be the blessed man of Psalm 1? Who wouldn't want to have a Christian life that is like a tree planted by the rivers of water? Who doesn't want to bring forth their fruit? Who doesn't want a leaf that isn't withering? Who doesn't want it to be true of them? Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Everything here is good. Everything is good. Everything is here for our encouragement. Everything is here for our own instruction. May the Lord help us with these things for his own name's sake. Amen.